left wrist by pushing it against the handcuffs. Correspondent Julie Walker had a report today about large numbers of students not returning to the classroom, even as more schools reopen for full-time in-person learning. It's all according to a new survey released by the Biden administration. Those findings reflecting a nation that has been locked in debate now over the safety of reopening schools during the coronavirus pandemic. Some say it's unsafe medically. Many parents concerned about the ill effects of children being isolated from school. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is off 13 points. This is SRN News.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar, and we'd love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We are United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Ryan Rack, Animalist Number 65233. Equal Housing Lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Montgomery Paint and Body. From a little fender bender to total body repair, MPB will fix it good as new, maybe better. For over 35 years, the Turner family has been getting you back on the road. Call 279-7325.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We're going to enjoy one more quiet day today before big weather changes. Today will be another warm day with a high temperature up to about 84. We're dry during the day, and we're dry during the evening hours tonight if you have plans. But by late tonight, you know, after midnight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. Overnight low temperature 63. Showers and thunderstorms become likely tomorrow. A few storms could be strong, possibly severe. High temperature up to about 80. More rounds of showers and thunderstorms at times on Friday and Saturday as well. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 1.99% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The city of Montgomery's mandatory mask mandate will stay in effect for at least another month. The Montgomery City Council voted to extend the mask mandate for an additional 30 days after the statewide mask mandate expires on Friday. Thomas Whitehurst, the man accused of killing his estranged wife, Star Mulder, had a preliminary hearing in Elmore County Tuesday. The judge decided to present the case to a grand jury. Mulder's remains were found last year in the Kaneka National Forest. And several current and former Montgomery police officers allege mistreatment, bullying, and retaliation in the department. They took their concerns to the city council last night. A city spokesperson says the legal process for personnel concerns is now underway. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Do you ever wonder why some companies have built such a solid quality brand while others struggle with their quality of service? It's simple. It's all about the company culture. If ownership takes quality care of their team members, then their sales, admin, and service techs take pride in treating their customers with exemplary service. This is what happens when you use Weedman of Greater Montgomery. Hi, this is Terry. Our local management and co-ownership team of twins, Grant and Kyle Falk, give you double the caring attitude towards you, the customer. Actually, our customers say it best. Linda A. says, "We've used Weedman for 3 years. I would encourage anyone ready to change services and looking for a dependable lawn care service to give Weedman a try." Nicole S. gushes, "Weedman saved my lawn. It was horrible after years of another company going through the motions. Now my yard looks as good as the neighbor's, who obsesses over his yard." Thanks, Nicole. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today for a free price quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Our caring culture sets us apart. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show, on a Wednesday. As promised, let me bring in Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District. Barry, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me as always. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. First of all, let me tell the audience that Barry's in the district. He wants to spend a little more time with us, so instead of being in studio, he's calling from his congressional office in Wetumpka, I believe. And he's
I'm traveling, Dan. I'm on the road.
You're on the road again, huh?
Yes, sir. On the road, my friend.
All right. Let's start out with the shenanigans going on and up in Washington, D.C. I just did a whole series on H.R. 1, and I believe that the Democrats are going to try to ram that through and avoid the filibuster. How say you on that, and how dangerous is H.R. 1 to the Republicans?
Well, it's terribly dangerous to free elections, Republicans, Democrats, regardless of what your party affiliation is, Dan. The Democrats are trying to use what they learned in an election where we had mass mail-in voter fraud. They're trying to put that in law so going forward they can continue to harvest ballots, print ballots, and not require IDs. And it's troubling for the future of our nation and certainly for election integrity.
Do you think that that they're going to try to push this through like I do and without the filibuster?
You know, I think they will. Now, I have heard, and Dan, you may be more still updated than I am, but I heard that McConnell and a number of the Senate leaders, Lindsey Graham, have mentioned the Republicans might just hold out and not even give them a quorum.
Right. I've definitely heard that.
If that's the case, I would certainly not go in. I would not give them an opportunity to set up for election fraud in the future. I wouldn't have the members there to give them a quorum. That's about the only defense and best defense if they try to ram this thing through.
Congressman Hastings, impeached federal judge turned congressman, passed away this week. What is that doing to the numbers for the Democrats?
Well, you know, I think it obviously it makes it a little bit more of a toss-up. And of course, you know, I think midterms we're going to gain the House for sure. I feel like we had a red wave down the ballot, Dan. If you look at the elections for this past November, we won every toss up seat. The Republicans didn't lose an incumbent, so we really needed to flip just a few, and we're going to have the majority. But we got to hold on to then and try to, like you said, we got to play the best defense we can. As far as the majorities, we'll see how it shakes out.
Tell me about infrastructure. This infrastructure bill, which to me is not really an infrastructure bill, it's kind of a jobs green bill. Tell me what the feeling is among the Republican caucus and the Freedom Caucus in the House.
Well, you know, I think obviously there's concerns. If you just look at what they call COVID relief, when only 9% of that actually went to COVID relief and 91% went to pet projects for Nancy and the Democrats, and, you know, for one example, $600 million went to San Francisco, and yet they called it COVID relief. Anytime the Democrats come with a package and they name it something, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can trust that it's going to be spent that way. And especially this, from what I've seen so far, this is not about infrastructure. Again, it's about making America more energy dependent on foreign countries. It's going to limit economic opportunities and increase regulations. And certainly it's not going to be about the infrastructure, not as you and I think of it, but more about a Green New Deal.
That's funny. I just said that in the last hour, is that when Democrats name something, you better watch out. And this Jim Crow law is that Georgia stuff is Jim Crow. That, as a Southerner, I am totally insulted by that.
Absolutely. It has nothing. It's always about race. And this Georgia election law is actually, you know, it's odd they moved the Major League Baseball game to Colorado, and I think it's only a 15-day. This has a 17-day in Georgia, so it's actually more flexible. It has some weekend opportunities for people to vote. It actually is less restrictive than the Colorado law, yet these woke corporations decide to pull the game away from Atlanta and ship it to Colorado. And, you know, like I know, it has nothing to do with Jim Crow. It has nothing to do with racism. It simply has to do with having a voter ID to vote and make sure Americans are electing American leaders to run this country. And the Democrats know that. I believe they're losing their base. I think they've went so hard left, and they're trying to figure out a way to keep cheating, keep stealing votes.
Well, I think what happens on Election Day 2022, they're going to realize when they're about 250,000 votes short of winning in Georgia, where in the hell did those 250,000 votes go? Well, it went because you had a law that you had to show either the last four digits of your Social Security number or your driver's license number, and it had to match your name. That's going to be hard for them to do.
Absolutely, and it must be done. I mean, we've got these state legislatures around the country. Georgia took the lead. We learned a little bit. They had some of the most disastrous results from 2020, so I was glad to see the legislature step up, bring a package of bills, companion in the House and Senate, to clean up some of this fraud that we saw in these elections, these Senate races, the presidential race at the top of the ticket. Obviously, there was fraud. And so it's just not right for Alabama to have voter ID and for us to hold our voters to a certain level of accountability and integrity in our elections, and then have Atlanta next door and Georgia just steal an election from us. And so I'm glad to see the Georgia legislature doing what they're doing. I feel like other states are following suit. But you're right. We can't have a 2020 repeat from November, that's for sure.
Well, Michigan seems to be doing even a stronger bill than Georgia. The Speaker of the House in Michigan, which is the House and Senate, both controlled by Republicans, the governor said, whatever bill you come up with, I'm going to veto. And the Speaker of the House in Michigan basically said, okay, well, we're going to do a petition referendum by the public. We're going to take it to the public and have them vote on it and do a vote for that, in which he cannot change that. But maybe Michigan may even come up with a stronger election law than Georgia. That would be incredible.
It would be great. You know, we saw a poll. My chief sent me some polling numbers this week. 74% of Americans want voter ID. They want election integrity. And you know, to me, Michigan's requiring you to have an ID to get a vaccine, but they don't want you to have an ID to vote. To me, that just screams hypocrisy, you know? So I think it's interesting to see how the Democrats govern going forward. And the thing I've learned about it is it's always about symbolism over substance. But in the case of H.R. 1, it's really about stealing elections. They're not worried about it being racist or that Americans don't have IDs and they can't be represented at the polls. It's not about that at all. They know they need to cheat to win. And I'm like you, they're going to be quite a few thousand votes short, and they won't have an opportunity to steal no.
There you go. They're going to be crying in the beer. Let me go back to infrastructure. Are they going to take this bill straight to the floor like they did the COVID-19 in the House, or is it any possibility it could actually go through Oversight Committee?
You know, Dan, I just don't know. Actually, the relief package, the last round we had, the $1.9 trillion they spent a few weeks ago, we had hearings in committees, but it was just rubber stamp because we offered 200 amendments and they peeled them off. I don't know how Pelosi and Schumer are planning on driving this infrastructure package through, but we'll just have to wait and see. They do not play by the rules. They certainly don't give the minority party any say in the process right now. It's all about a hard left agenda and hijacking the future of our country, and it's been that way since I got there 90 days ago, from H.R. 1, H.R. 5, H.R. 8, to the COVID relief, and now this infrastructure bill is a joke. It's not about infrastructure at all. It's about another process of tax regulation, and obviously restricts the growth of Americans. It's not good for the American people. It's more about an agenda that they're trying to drive. They're calling infrastructure.
Is the Republican caucus doing anything to change their strategy of how to approach this? I think the Republicans did a very good job on COVID-19, saying the 9% of it is going to COVID, 91% is going to other things. Are they changing their strategy to try to be more effective?
Yeah, I think so, Dan. I think one thing we learned, you were talking about the House Freedom Caucus earlier, I went out to the wall a few weeks ago, and Andy Biggs is chairman of House Freedom Caucus, and he was our guest. He kind of, our host, I should say. He took us out and showed us the wall. We realized there was a crisis, so we came back to D.C., and about 12 people around the table began to brainstorm, how do we help with this crisis on the border? We had a press conference the next day on the steps of the Capitol and started talking about, we have a crisis at the southern U.S. border. We speak from experience. We have been there. We have seen it. And what happened was the media then eventually had to start acknowledging it. And then, of course, Biden turns around and restricts media access to the border, so it just really backfires on him. I think we have to do the same thing. The media's not on our team, but I think if we get on message and stay on message and we work hard on our social media, we work hard on press conferences, we work with a consistent message, I think we can do the same thing with infrastructure. I think you'll see that. And I think, too, the American people do know they're not as trusting of Biden and the administration, Kamala Harris, and the Democrat leadership as they were a few weeks ago or months ago. I think there's some buyer remorse there, and the people are actually starting to pay more attention to what we're saying in our press conferences, on our social media, and obviously the photos and videos we shot for the border. I think those things have an impact. And so we have to stay on message. The media is not on our team, but if we stick together on message, I think we can win.
Well, the border is working for Republicans, without a doubt. The border is working against the Biden administration that's out there. Is it, in your mind, is it getting a lot worse than it was when you saw it? What was that, 10 days ago?
Oh, no, sir. I was out probably about shortly after the executive orders came down. I went to the border at that point, and they told me we had 8,000 arrests in 2017, and it was up to 3,000 a day. So that was that month where we had 107,000. That was February. And in March, it jumped to 171,000 arrests. And that's the ones we're catching. But, Dan, I'm telling you, the southern border of the United States is controlled by Mexican drug cartel. The United States government has no control over what's going on. Our border agents are outmanned down there. They're outgunned. And there's so much fentanyl and heroin being backpacked across to pay passage by these folks that are trying to get in the country. They're paying the drug cartel by smuggling their drugs. And, of course, then they're in indentured service. They owe fees back to the Mexican cartel. So we know right now we do not control the southern border in the United States of America, the Mexican drug cartel.
Well, we have two people that were on the terrorist watch list who got caught. And you know if there are two, there are a whole bunch more that are out there. That would seem to be a major wake-up call to me. Are the Dems paying attention to that at all?
Well, you know, we talked about it. We went out there. If you were from Mexico, it was $3,000 to come across the border. You had to pay the cartel $3,000 to $5,000. If you were from further South America, it was $5,000 to $6,000. And then it had, oh, by the way, if you're from Syria, Afghanistan, or Iraq, you pay the Mexican drug cartel $20,000, and they'll let you cross our southern border. So right then there was a red flag for us because I thought to myself, well, if they've got a price and they know how much it costs, then it's happening more often than we realize.
There you go. Anybody who has a rate card for something, you know there's a bunch of it, right?
Absolutely. When you got a price and you know the going rate, there is a bunch of it going on. And it, like I said, The Mexican folks, most of them are choosing to just smuggle cartel. I mean, they're smuggling drugs. They're fentanyl or heroin, and they pay their passage that way. They don't have $3,000 to $5,000, but those drugs are not stopping on that southern border. They're coming to our cities. They're coming to our school systems. They're coming to areas around this country, and it's going to be a problem for the American law enforcement, for our students, our classes. Going forward, our communities are going to have to. We're going to have to address these issues, and it's Joe Biden and his administration's responsibility. They have opened the border on the southern part of the country by advertising catch and release and all these great things that Obama did that never worked. And it's just caused tremendous pressure on the border.
When you travel to the district and you talk to your constituents, how big is the topic of border issues to them?
I would say it's probably second or third. Dan, you know, election integrity and concerns about HR1, that has to be, I think, the number one issue that I hear about. But the border is an issue, and can we win going forward? I think we can, and I have said this time and time again. We have played defense. We've been playing defense for the last few weeks and months with Nancy in control, but I feel like that the Republicans, when we get the majority in the midterms, we cannot take a knee. We've got to take the ball. We've got to be aggressive. We've got to move at the midfield.
I like that. Well, when you look at the topics, I think the election in Georgia and what Major League Baseball did, winning, winning, winning for Republicans. I think border, I don't want it as a winning issue. I want it as a solution issue. But that is very much in the Republican wheelhouse. And then the overall, what the damn Democrats are doing, they don't seem to be care about anybody but themselves. And I think that's a win for Republicans that are out there. Are you feeling the same thing on those three?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think in even the Democrats, in some ways, I think they're wondering what happened to their party. And we're starting to see, I think that's why they come so hard after a lot of my freshman class that are minorities and they're females. And they're like, the Democrats are losing their base and they know it. And then, of course, the Republicans, like I said, we need to play offense going into this midterm. But Obama lost about 60 seats. Clinton lost in the mid-50s, I think, Dan, if I remember correctly. Biden's in big trouble. We got to flip about 10, and we got a majority. And I think it's going to be a landslide. I think we honestly had a landslide down about this time. The only thing we didn't win was the presidential race, and we all have our theories on that, how that happened. But for sure, I think it's that landslide will continue. I think we'll pick up enough to take the majority. And, you know, it's not, Dan, not everybody's as conservative as I am or some of these guys in Congress and the House Freedom Caucus. But right now, majority makers are key. If we could just get the gavel away from Nancy and put Republican chairmen in these committee chair seats, we can at least control the agenda. Because right now, she is not playing by the rules. They're not showing up to work. They're not having committee hearings. And they're driving an agenda that would shock most American people if they heard the stuff we have to see and hear every day.
Well, the real good thing is when you look at the Freedom Caucus and you look at your members and you look at what their committee assignments are, you have some people that are in some very plum positions, Jim Jordan being one of the big ones there.
Absolutely. Jim, head up judiciary, he's a brilliant guy. And, you know, he's a humble man. I've enjoyed, he's become one of my friends. And he is one of those guys that's in a key position. There'll be others you see that we are, in a lot of ways, we're the trusted circle of President Trump. So I think there are a lot of populist group men in that group and women in that group that are going to move through and continue to be in leadership. And I think that's part of the negotiation going forward, Dan. If once we take the majorities, you know, the House Freedom Caucus started with 9 members. We probably going to have 40 or 50. I mean, half my class this time joined the caucus. And so I think we'll have a say in the process going forward once we take the majority. We may not have a speaker from the Freedom Caucus, but we'll certainly have an impact on who the speaker will be. We'll have a say in that, and certainly our committee appointment.
Yeah, I mean, the logical choice is Kevin McCarthy, right?
I think Kevin's in the lead. I don't know where Steve's, I don't know if Steve Scalise is eyeing at it. Who knows? You know how politics is. But regardless, whoever it is, they'll need the Freedom Caucus. And I think the one thing I can honestly say, I know that Kevin McCarthy has been good to work with the Freedom Caucus. He at least comes and sees us, talks with us about ideas. And him and Jim Jordan have a longstanding relationship. I don't know that it was always friendly, but there's a great deal of respect there. And so it's my hope that we'll move that needle to midfield as soon as we get the ball.
Guns. Sheila Jackson Lee's crazy bill. Is there any possibility that they're going to push through or do something in executive order that's going to start having to do tax on ammunition, taxes on AR-15s and other type of, quote, assault weapons?
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know what the executive branch can do, and I'm sure it'd be contested in court. Now, Sheila Jackson Lee's bill, I don't think she can get that thing out of the Senate. I don't think it's going to get any traction. It's H.R. 8 was one of the bills that came through last week. That wasn't actually Sheila Jackson Lee, but that's one about the transfer of arms and a waiting period that concerned me, and I spoke on the floor concerning that. I think that probably is going to be held up in the Senate as well. There are a few Democrats that are in some pretty tough spots. I don't think they could vote for that and not be safe for re-election. So hopefully they won't touch too much of the gun. But with an executive order now, Dan, you know better than I don't know what the president can do with an executive order, except, like I said, I think there'd be some lawsuits filed immediately.
In 2010, there was a real different mood that started happening right before the election, the 2010 election, because they saw what the Tea Party was doing. Have you seen anything different among Democrats? Have Democrats in Congress been all of a sudden been a little bit nicer to Barrymore and other Republicans?
No, it's been exactly opposite. I have been actually a little bit, you know, got my feelings hurt, Dan. They don't even talk to us. And then, like, they make us go through a magnetometer, fear we might bring a gun on the floor of Congress. I don't know. They're not very cordial to us these days. And I told somebody the other day, and I might have been a bit, I might have overstated this, simply overstated it, but I think Nancy Pelosi knows she's done in 2 years, and I feel like some days she's striking a match and tossing it over her shoulder as she walks out the door. It's just her policy's a disaster. She's not been looking across the aisles with us, and removing Marjorie Taylor Greene from committees, an opposing party member, that has never happened that I know of, and nobody knows in recent history. But that shows you the blatant disregard she has for the Constitution and the process and the American people.
Well, I will have to say that during that time, that was in 2010 versus 2009, that that members told me that they were, that all of a sudden the Democrats were becoming buddies with them because they kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. The great thing also for you, Barry, is that you get to move, if Republicans do take the majority, you get to move from minority status to majority status on your committees, and that's a big deal.
You're right. I mean, that's where most of the work should be done and isn't done usually is in committees. And so at that point, the chairmen start picking and choosing the legislation and the bills and the discussions and the hearings that we have. And those are always much better, in my opinion, when you have Republicans running those committees. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I have to listen to with the Democrats running the committees right now. So if nothing else, just to get to hear a conservative message from a chairman would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful. What's your favorite committee to be on?
You know, it's interesting. I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my life, and that's the truth. And so I'm on Ag and I'm on Veterans Affairs, and they both have major issues with bureaucracy regulations and getting help. So we're working. I don't know that I have a favorite between the two, and I guess that's really a political answer. But honestly, we have agriculture producers that have problems down here with some of the programs. I was on the phone with Ag Secretary week before last. They're trying to get those resolved. And, of course, I will say this. My team, and we've been in the district, and we've cut ribbons at offices. Our team in Dothan and Andalusia and Wetumpka, we've been able to resolve some Veterans Affairs issues. And right now, being on the defensive and getting crushed like we are in D.C., to be able to see some things done for some people who have been waiting a couple of years, that's somewhat rewarding. So for the Ag and the Veterans, I'm on both those committees. We're doing work for both, and it's been equally rewarding, I can also say.
Is the administration being responsive to you, particularly in VA? Because that seems to be a mess in Washington, D.C.
VA is it's one of the deepest bureaucracies and the most red tape. But we had some people that had two-year waiting issues. They've been working on 2 years. We resolved in a week or two. And then we've had some local issues on Triple P that we've been able to resolve relatively quickly for healthcare industry. And then, you know, and even Ag, I can say this, Secretary Vilsack from Ag, he's Biden's appointee. He was Obama's appointee. But he's been very fair. We had some conversations in a Zoom call last week, and he's addressing some issues for us. So I've been pleased with that. The VA does have its problems, but we're making some headway there. We've brought some great legislation, and I think we'll continue to make headway. And you know, again, it's just working with the leadership that we've got. But I've been pleased with the committee, the association, the agencies, the leadership. They are trying to help us. And those are bureaucrats for the most part. They're not typically Democrat or Republican, but it's just a matter of getting to know the right people, connecting your constituents with them. So we're excited about some of the things we're getting done, and I said Secretary Vilsack with Ag has been helpful.
Let me brag on your staff. I have referred some listeners to your offices, and they've done a very good job. Do you have people that are assigned to certain disciplines, for example, VA issues? Is there somebody in the Wetumpka office that deals VA only?
Well, typically we will have somebody in areas like in the local offices that may field the calls. And they might not be in their wheelhouse, but they can direct you, whether it be to D.C., to Luke or Brad or whoever's up there that can help. And we want to make sure that people know they need to reach out to our office. Don't hesitate to get in touch with either Wetumpka, Andalusia, Dothan, whatever the case may be. And we'll have somebody using the district that has a little bit of information to help. But for sure they have a connection in D.C. with our team that has relationships that we've been able to get some things resolved. So, and again, we have different disciplines and different committee members and our different team members. And so it's good to reach out to them, and we can direct you in the path that you need to go to get some help.
Well, your staff is doing a very good job. It's And there are certain people that have their cell phone numbers and I've directed, but also the people who call your general office, they are getting good attention, and that's very sorely needed in the 2nd Congressional District.
Absolutely. You know, Dan, I did something today. I took my entire D.C. team to the Capitol building in Montgomery and then invited the House and Senate members to come by and meet them, because when I was in the legislature, I didn't always have the help that I needed. If you had a federal issue, you couldn't get it resolved. So I wanted my legislators who represent the district and all of Alabama to know, hey, call Barrymore's team in D.C. We will help get you cut through the red tape to get through the bureaucracy. and get you in touch with the right people to help resolve these issues. And the answer is not always yes, but at least we'll get them in touch with somebody that can hopefully help them. And so that was something I did. Jeff Sessions came by our Montgomery office when I was there, and I met him and met his team, and it was always helpful. So we made a point to have our team there today, and I think that's going to bode well for the district, bode well for our constituents.
Well, Barry, I appreciate you calling in today. We'd love to have you back in the studio your next visit to the district.
Thank you, Dan, and we'll sure come by and see you guys. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Barry Moore, 2nd Congressional District. We're going to be back after this break.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
The weather this time of year can be unpredictable, bringing damaging winds and even worse, power outages. At Spire, we know life doesn't stop just because the power did. Thankfully, you can depend on natural gas water heaters, stoves, and fireplaces no matter how long the power is out. And right now, get up to a $600 rebate when you switch from an electric water heater at spireenergy.com/startsaving. Now that's fuel for good.
Just because you're family doesn't mean you relate.
Yo, bro. Psyched to see your new dump.
Did you buy it from someone famous?
Uh-huh. Very funny. You do know it was Matt Damon, though, right?
Tonight on ABC, a new comedy about three siblings who discover while money can divide us.
Don't think of him as your baby brother. Think of him as a cartoon duck swimming in a pool of gold coins.
Family unites us.
I know how much you two look up to me.
We don't.
Do not.
Home Economics.
Jerry Todd here with the Kickback Ranch Event Center and RV Park. We would like to invite you to our first ever live consignment auction Saturday, May the 1st. Gates open at 10 a.m. Auction begins at high noon. Items already consigned include household, farm and garden, antiques, and much more. Old-fashioned country auction. Got a pig, goat, chicken, tractor? We sell it. So if you have items to consign, contact us at the Kickback Ranch. This is going to be a fun-filled family day. There will be food trucks, vendors of all kinds, a water slide, and kids' playground in full swing. You don't have to just come for the day. Stay the weekend in one of our cabins or bring your RV and stay in our new RV park with full hookups available. Consignment auction, Saturday, May the 1st at the Kickback Ranch. Gates open at 10 a.m. Auction at high noon. For more information or directions, go to kickbackranch.net. That's kickbackranch.net or call 286-4140. That's 286-4140.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
For calling in. Good talking to him. He sounds like he's really getting into the swing of things. His staff is doing a very good job. People are being very responsive. He's spending time in the district. He's, and when I told him about the committee assignments, moving to the majority, that's going to be a nice change for him. He's going to really see the difference if Republicans can pull this off, which I believe they will, if they just keep doing what they're doing, they and they don't mess up. That's the main thing. But I don't think they will. But he's doing a good job. I like that. Mortgage Corporation South. Yes, Kim, let me give you a telephone number. 567-9000. That's an easy one to remember. 567-9000. John Williams and the gang at Mortgage Corporation South can help you. Refinance, new finance, pre-approval letter, loan consolidation, buying, getting a new house. Maybe you want to get your equity out of your house to go do some things around your house. Maybe pool, maybe outside. They can do all of that for you. 567-9000, Mortgage Corporation South. Good credit, not so good credit. They can help you out. And let me tell you something. As a financial guy, the not so good credit aspect of Mortgage Corporation South is something very attractive to somebody like me, because I've got clients that have, everybody makes mistakes, as John says. I say the exact same thing. They have something that just didn't go right. Lost a job, something happened, and they've been living in the credit, bad credit purgatory, and they need to get out. Well, this is an opportunity for you to do that through Mortgage Corporation South. Give them a call, 567-9000. On that issue, I will talk to John Williams directly and find out what he can do for you. Have a good confidential discussion with them. I've had a couple of clients that have done that, and they really appreciate the way he handles things. 567-9000, Mortgage Corporation South, John Williams, NMLS number 232-876, an equal housing lender. Let me see what we have here. We did part two, didn't we, of Newt. So let me real quickly hit Sean Hannity with Sarah Carter. Set up and talking about the border, and then we'll go on a break and get to Kevin McCarthy.
Now, yesterday, Customs and Border Patrol Protection, they announced that the agents arrested two individuals on the terrorism watch list at the border. Fox's Peter Ducey asked Circle Back Jen Psaki about it today. Take a look.
The FBI keeps a watch list with information about people who are known or reasonably suspected of being involved in terror activities. Two people on it from Yemen have been apprehended at the border. How concerned is President Biden about terrorists possibly trying to take advantage of gaps in the border to get in and kill Americans?
Well, first let me convey that these type of incidents are very uncommon. And CBP and DHS can speak more to the timeline and the specifics, of course, in these particular cases and encounters. But encounters of known and suspected terrorists are very uncommon.
Very uncommon. We didn't have open borders, there would be no terrorists crossing the border. Jen, one terrorist is all that it takes. And that's not all. You won't be able to find the original press release announcing the arrest because Customs and Border Patrol took it down. Tonight, the CBP released a statement saying the news release in question was not properly reviewed and contained certain disclosure and policy information related to national security that required CBP to remove it from its own website. That's not the full story. Here for an exclusive report on what actually happened, investigative reporter, Fox News contributor Sarah Carter. Not exactly what they're saying it is it?
No, it's not, Sean. In fact, the sources that I spoke to, both in DHS as well as intelligence, said that people in the Biden administration, and particularly officials within the Department of Homeland Security, wanted that press release down because they didn't want the public to be alarmed at the very real threat that the border poses. And particularly now under the Biden administration, when we saw 170,000 people enter the border in March, and those are the people that they apprehended, and another 100,000 in February. Think about this, Sean. 1,000 people, according to CBP officials I've spoken with, get away every day across the border. That means those are gotaways. Those are people that they cannot identify, people that they have not traced, people that disappear into our country without any identity whatsoever. And there's a big concern among intelligence officials that some of those people could be terrorists. I'm certain that they are questioning these two men from Yemen right now that were caught in the El Centro sector. Possibly there could be more that have entered the border. They do not know, and I don't expect us to be finding anything out anytime soon about that unless somebody else is willing to talk.
You know, another rare occurrence was 9/11. Anybody that's in security would bristle about that comment that Jen Psaki had. It's a rare occasion. Well, that's what you're looking for, is the anomaly. Both of these guys, who were caught separate, by the way, both had SIM cards hidden on them. So, maybe a rare occasion, but what in the hell were they doing coming over the border from Mexico into the U.S.? You have to ask that question. Going to be back after this brief break.
Dan Morris Show.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. With PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Most of us love to make buying decisions based on referrals from others. We've built our company on the compliments and referrals of our great customers. Hi, this is Terry for Weedman Lawn Care of Montgomery. Our golf course quality timed release products feed lawns for months, not days. We make your yard greener, thicker, more kid-friendly. Strive to be weed-free and do so with an environmentally sound approach to lawn care. But more importantly, you might want to hear what others say about their experience with us. Carlos C. says, Weedman prices for service are very competitive. The difference is you get the best service in the area. I highly recommend you call and get a quote from Weedman. Thanks, Carlos. Weedman is recommended by landscapers, golf course superintendents, and people like Chara S., who gushes. Weedman is very professional, timely, courteous, knowledgeable. I could keep going, but you get the point. I've used other lawn care services, but Weedman exceeds them all. That's quite a compliment. Go to WeedmanUSA.com for a free quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Go to WeedmanUSA.com. Today.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon, and we understand what it means to serve. As children of military veterans, we are committed to providing our service members with the very best mortgage rates and experience.
Our community is full of veterans that would benefit from a VA interest rate reduction refinance loan, IRRL for short. For those veterans who currently have a VA loan, this program is reserved exclusively for you.
We can lower your rate and lower your payment with no appraisal or income documentation required. You'll even skip a month payment, maybe two.
An Army veteran purchased a home in Pike Road just over a year ago. We were able to drop her interest rate over a point and save her $418 a month with a VA interest rate reduction loan. Folks, if you have a VA loan, you owe it to yourself to pick up the phone.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage today at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies.
NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
This is your roving reporter, and today I am talking with a mime.
Hello!
I thought mimes didn't talk.
I'm on my break, man.
Well, could you show us some of the things you mimes do?
Sure, man. Here I am, trapped in a box.
I see.
And now I'm walking against the wind, man.
Okay, what's that thing you're doing now?
I'm calling my friend David Ernest to see how my mime money is doing today.
David Ernest is your financial guy?
Yes, he is. And you know you can call him yourself at 279-7431 or 205-479-0839 if you were in the Birmingham area.
I see. So I guess you would gladly recommend David Ernest.
Yeah, man. He has the mime seal of approval.
So for a great asset preservationist, call David Ernest.
That's right, man.
What are you doing now?
I'm still on break.
Got another one of those?
Yeah, man. Help yourself.
Beautiful day.
For slap out, it ain't half bad.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Riverside Chevrolet Wetumpka. If it's Chevy, it's Riverside. Best price, best selection. Check them out on the web at riversideusa.net. Rich Thomas
Weather. Well, hi, everybody. We're going to enjoy one more quiet day today before big weather changes. Today will be another warm day with a high temperature up to about 84. We're dry during the day, and we're dry during the evening hours tonight if you have plans. But by late tonight, you know, after midnight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. Overnight low temperature 63. Showers and thunderstorms become likely tomorrow. A few storms could be strong, possibly severe. High temperature up to about 80. More rounds of showers and thunderstorms at times on Friday and Saturday as well. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Are you tired of renting instead of building equity in your home? ASC Credit Union can help. With historic low rates and an easy approval process, your dream of owning a new home can be a reality. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 420259.
Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing has openings for seasoned HVAC technicians who want to join a team that functions in a team environment and considers itself family. We want smiling faces and positive attitudes. We offer competitive salaries, a full benefits package, including a retirement plan, paid vacation, paid holidays, personal days, and a health insurance program. We value our team members as much as we value our clients. If you want to join a team whose company values and company culture reflect a desirable working environment, stop by Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing to apply. 521 Oliver Road in Montgomery.
Hey there, I'm a dog. Now, I know we tend to eat things we probably shouldn't, but what you put in that food bowl really makes a difference. And dogs love it when you feed us Nutrina dog food from Prattville Farm Center. I love the taste and the energy it gives me, and you'll love it too, because it's made locally and won't hurt your wallet. Now, I've got squirrels to chase. See ya!
See the full line of Nutrina products at Prattville Farm Center, 1154 South Memorial Drive, or call 365-5400.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. That's where we are. Let's go to the phones. Well, oh, no. Let me mention Dylan Wings. Mother's Day coming up. You need to go by and see Leslie and Josh. And let them show you what they have out there. You know, when we think Mother's Day, we're thinking wives and we're thinking small children. That's when I'm thinking today versus, like, my mother. But you do need to take care of your mother. But the wives are special. With small children, want to get something special? Dylan Wings is a great place. 119 Brown Springs Road. Go see Leslie and Josh. Maybe they have something that's broken. Get Josh to fix it. Maybe they have something that is older, but you can add some things to it and make it brand new again or better. Josh can do that because he is very, very creative. 119 Brown Springs Road. Dylan Wings, right-hand side, going down Brown Springs. Headed to Atlanta Highway, right hand side of the road. Go by and see them. Rodney, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Dan and Joey, how are y'all doing on this beautiful day?
We are good. So we're in the attic and we're ready to get out.
Well, I figured I'd call you just a few minutes before you got out, Dan.
There you go. You're thinking of it.
Guys, is the Democrats messing up good enough for y'all or what?
Well, we need a little more.
Yeah, they, I heard Homeland Security is getting riled up now, right?
About what?
We had some terrorists they caught trying to get across the border.
Yeah, we got two of them.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. I think they're starting wanting to push to put up some more walls.
Yeah, actually, they are talking about closing up some of the gaps that are out there.
Wow.
Let me tell you what, if they do that, it's going to be very, very quiet.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the shift with the Democrats. They must know they're in trouble.
Yeah, this border is killing them right now.
Yeah, that and I'm telling you, all the legislators out there, all our true American representatives out there throughout our nation, we all going to owe these people a lot of gratitude for stepping up and trying to get everything right. We're heading in the right direction, Dan. The more I think about it, I say, you know, if we'd have never got to this point, they'd been still doing what they was doing. So no matter how it all falls out, I think it's going to be good for our country and good for the American people to really see how rotten and stingy it got down there in Washington. And it was well past due to bring the maid in and clean it up. And I think President Trump started it. And I think that the American people are going to finish it in the midterms throughout next presidential election.
Well, I hope so. I'll tell you the big difference is you finally got some Republicans that got some testicular fortitude and stood up. What they have done on the border and them going down there with Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson and that group, that was great. They look like a million bucks.
Yeah, they need to put it out there as much as they can. And just keep moving forward, and let's you know, it's everybody got their own opinion about it, Dan. But this last election is nothing like the Al Gore election. This election was truly stolen, and I look forward to seeing the results of these kind of things happening. Because usually in this country, until somebody goes rogue or something like this, we're not too much of changing things. But thank the Lord that the guys are on board now, and they know that we got to just get it right, because these people are just, they have no means of stopping, and they don't have who they knock down and who they hurt along the way. They really just don't care. And so we got to quit this attitude of trying to appease to them, and we got to just do the same old thing like them. We got to come out, you know, fighting like dogs every day, and that's what it's going to take to get our country back.
Yep, and hopefully these Republicans are starting to get some guts.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they went wrong with a lot of this crap and it's become a political game, and then now all of a sudden it got real serious. And I'm sure hoping they're waking up and seeing how serious these people are, seriously trying to take over the control of this country and make us into a universal borders and a socialist country. And I don't think anybody wants that, but hey, it took the American people long enough to wake up, and I hope it's the day that we can look back and say, this is the day that our American politicians stepped up and did the right thing for not me and you, but for our country.
There we go. Rodney, I appreciate you, buddy.
Y'all keep on doing what y'all doing. Joey, I know you're hard at work in the back there. Your guys are doing a terrific job, and y'all can count on me listening.
Thanks, Rodney. Appreciate you,
Thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Rodney.
Let's go to Sean talking to Kevin McCarthy here, and he's going to be talking about the crossing of the border. Listen to this, terrorists now.
One leading Republican who has been warning for weeks about individuals on the terror watch list crossing the border, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. And breaking tonight,
listen
Kevin
to the
McCarthy
story.
Is now requesting a classified FBI CIA briefing about suspected terrorists that have already crossed that border. Here with reaction, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. We already know of a number of them, don't we?
We do. And Sean, when I was down at the border almost a month ago, talking to the border agents, they told me that they had caught people on the terrorist watch list. When I brought that up at the press conference, my Democratic colleagues weren't shocked by it. You know what they did? They called me a liar until we brought forth the answers. And it should not come as a surprise that the Democrats are troubled by this. They are trying to distract from this disaster because they created it. These policies have created this catastrophe. And so today I sent a letter to the director of the FBI, the director of the CIA, to give a classified briefing to myself, Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell, and bring in the vice president. If she's so-called supposed to be in charge but won't go to the border, she should hear the classified briefing. Because what's happening to us and these policies that President Biden put in has made us less secure. We are vulnerable now to terrorist attacks. And when you talk about the two terrorists they have now caught on the terrorist watch list from Yemen, they didn't catch them together. They caught two separately. And if 1,000 people are coming across every day and not being caught, how many terrorists are in that 1,000?
You know, one of the big differences is when the Democrats would complain about Trump people, a bunch of it was made up. The Republicans are latching on to facts and latching on to real situations, and it's working for them. I mean, it really, really is working for them. I have people who are not that plugged in that I talk to that are saying, you know, it seems the Biden administration just keeps one screw up after another, and they point to the border as kind of their number one. And then the Major League Baseball in Georgia thing, and their apprehension about voter reform. They just don't, they don't understand. So stay with Kevin McCarthy here, and listen in more border and what are things working for Biden? Or maybe they're not.
The FBI director may be busy finally offering discipline to those that are mentioned in the Inspector General report, so he's probably very busy. So what we really have here is a health crisis. We do have a humanitarian crisis, but really a national security crisis and a financial burden on the American people, the likes of which will be in the billions and billions of dollars. Do you see this getting resolved? Because I don't. I only see it getting worse.
It's getting worse. Remember, I sent a letter to President Biden before traveling there, asking him to meet with us. Meet with the elected officials and let's work on solving this border problem that he created. He ignored it. We traveled to the border. We come back. We warn him about the terrorists. We warn him what's going on with these children being packed together and not tested for COVID, but now being shipped out throughout America, spreading COVID throughout. More than 10% of them have COVID. How many more will have after they've been held together?
And have now we're finding out Joe Biden invited you to the White House?
No, I've sent three letters to him. He's ignored every one and never once talked to me since he's become president. Not much bipartisanship there.
Not much. Let me try one Newsom cut here. Newsom is changing, wait on this, changing the schedule for California reopening. Happens to be kind of in line with the recall vote. Listen to the front end of this story.
Still, more than 2 million Californians have signed a petition to force a recall. County officials have until April 29th to determine if enough of those signatures are valid to trigger a special election.
It looks like you're going to face a recall election in a few months. I met some business owners who are supporting the recall effort against you because they feel like the decisions you made destroyed their livelihoods.
Now, we put $2.5 billion in small business grants. California is the first state to do a state home order. We have among the lowest death rates of the major states in the country. We think we're better positioned than most other states to come roaring back, and we're providing record amount of relief and support for small businesses.
Has the recall effort influenced your decisions and pandemic response?
Absolutely not. In fact, quite the contrary. We're just focused on the data, disease prevalence. I'm focused on what's actually happening on the ground.
Newsom also says that California met its goal of administering 4 million doses to people in the hardest hit zip codes.
When you look at Hispanics in California, they're roughly 40% of the population, roughly half of the COVID cases, half of the deaths, yet they're about 22% of the vaccination.
And that's why about 5 weeks ago, we announced that 40% of all the new first doses are going under this new equity metric. Look, at the end of the day, it's still stubborn. The equity metric continues to be a challenge. Good enough never is. There is no having made it.
Now, the governor says he expects 30 million doses to be administered by the end of this month, and that puts California on track to vaccinate almost everyone who's eligible. Now, the governor also talked about the increase in the number of migrants crossing the border